Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. Reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have Phil Hall talking about PR. Phil actually runs one of the largest PR agencies in London, PHA Media. And prior to that, he was in journalism, where he actually reached the lofty heights of editor of the News of the World. He was also editor of Hello Magazine. And prior to that, he worked for a number of local newspapers, as well as other national newspapers. And yet he left school with, as he will tell you, pretty poor A-levels. So I think this is going to be a really interesting story for those who want a career in media, but maybe believe they don't want to go to university, or maybe they're not academic enough, or even those who are not sure what they want to do. When Phil starts to talk to you about the excitement of the career that he's had, and also what PR involves now and the stepping stones that it can give to other industries at later life, I'm sure that you're going to find it very inspiring and interesting. So Phil, thanks so much for joining us today. And we're going to talk about PR. But before we really get into the detail of PR, I'd love you to just give us an overview of your journey and your career history to date, from when you left school to now.
Yeah, I think I was passionate about newspapers from a very young age. You know, from the age of 7 or 8, when people were reading stories, I was reading newspapers. And I fell in love with it because of a particular writer in the Sunday Express who was very colourful and very descriptive in his writing. So he would write about football matches, and instead of talking about the goal, he would be describing the scene, which got me really excited about football, but about journalism. So at a very young age, I started writing stories for my sort of scout troop and for my teenage football team. And so by the time I came to leave school, and I didn't do particularly well at school, I got 2 D's and an E at A-level.
So where did you go to school?
I went to school in Ilford at Beal Grammar School. And when I went for careers advice and asked about journalism, they said, forget it, you got no chance.
Right.
Which did make me think I had no chance. So I went.
So you just accepted that?
I accepted it. There were no proper advisors in those days. And so I became a insurance clerk and was working in the claims department. And I thought that was my future.
Right. OK. You were very into sport, you mentioned.
Yeah, I was. I was into sport. So I was reading every sports page I could and trying to understand how to write those sort of sports stories. And then, as I said, I'd write them myself and print them off and distribute to the rest of the players in the team.
Right.
Rather sad, really. But it's what I loved doing. And then I went into insurance and, you know, went in with both feet, really, and tried to do my very best. But journalism was always something I hankered to do. And then one day I saw an advert in the local paper which said 2 journalism students wanted, and the newspaper was going to sponsor you to go. So they paid all my costs. 2,000 people applied for the job, and I was one of the lucky 2 that got the job.
So tell us a little bit about that first role at the Dagenham Post and how you actually got that job.
So I was a junior reporter. I came through college, which they'd sponsored me for, and very grateful I was, because it gave me the chance to learn about journalism first, sort of do an apprenticeship, really. And so that when I started at the Dagenham Post, I could get straight onto stories. You know, they obviously didn't give me the big ones to do, but I was doing the sort of the village fate type stories. But You know, when I saw the Village Fete and people would say, oh, you've got the Dagenham Town Show to do, poor you, I thought, well, there's going to be 100 stalls there. I'm going to find something really dramatic and unusual. And I did, you know.
So resourcefulness.
Yeah,
made the difference.
Because I could have just gone along and done pictures of people winning the dog show and people. But what I, you know, when I went to the dog show part, I got hold of the owners and I tried to find a story, and I found somebody who had beaten cancer, and the dog had helped them through cancer, and then there was a dog winning the show. So suddenly this little 4-paragraph story became a whole page, because I just thought, I'll do a little bit more than I have to do.
Mm. And that's an important tip, actually, isn't it?
So.
Again, for standing out.
Absolutely.
And meaning that, you know, you don't just get stuck in a rut and be average, because, you know, you're actually going that extra mile.
I think kids, and, you know, when I was a kid, I used to think, oh, I better not do too much because people think I'm the, you know, the class swot. But actually, I thought, if I want to get on, I can either be in the group and probably stay in that group, or I can just maybe go that extra mile and try and do it myself. So the first thing I did, and I always advise people, is get in first in the morning and leave last at night. It sounds silly, but actually, you know, when the manager of the business is always there late, comes out and says, I've got a problem, and you're the person that solves the problem, up the ladder you go very quickly.
Absolutely, and that's when you get all the best opportunities.
Definitely.
You know, because there's normally the senior people hanging around at the end as well, aren't they?
Exactly.
So you were there for a while, and then what happened?
Well, so I started getting some good stories in the Dagenham Post, and eventually got headhunted by the Ilford Recorder, which are our local rivals. So I went to work there, and I got involved in a particularly notorious murder case. I'd interviewed the woman of a man who'd been found drowned in a river in Lincolnshire, and she told me how sad and tragic it was, and she was missing her husband. And then about 6 weeks later, I saw her kissing another guy in a back street in Ilford. And I rang the police and said, look, you mentioned this death to us. I interviewed the wife and I've just seen her. And they asked me to follow them. And then the police turned up and arrested him. And it was turned out that he'd murdered the husband.
My goodness.
Along with many others. It was a serial killer.
It shows you that even working for local newspapers, you can still get all of these sort of exciting stories if you're prepared to dig for them and go that extra mile.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's got a story to tell. And that was what the editor always used to teach us. If he had no stories in the paper, he would send a reporter to go and stand underneath a clock at Barking Station and just stop people going past you and try and get them to talk to you, because it's amazing what you find out. And I went to a street once. We were told to do a story about down your way, and you pick a street in Dagenham and go and do it. And I knocked on every house in the street, and I found a European go-kart champion. I found somebody who was a great singer, somebody who'd been a war hero.
Yeah.
It's just about really, you know, talking to people.
Like you say, everybody has a story.
Exactly.
Fast forward a little bit, and you then went into national newspaper positions.
I got stories into the local paper that the national papers were interested in, and sold one or two. And then one of the papers, the Sunday People, asked me to go and do a Saturday shift for them, where you'd sit on the desk in case anything happened, and you would, you know, pick up the phone to people calling in, just see if there are any stories around. And very often you got sent on some of the biggest stories of the day. So there was Princess Diana was a big news at that time. If she was doing something, you might get sent to a hospital she was opening, or and again, my view was, well, we can do that, but maybe we can get something a little bit extra. Unfortunately, I got a few extra stories. I got a big interview with Elton John's wife, a big interview with Karen Carpenter's mother on the day that, I'm older than the people that are listening to this, but she was a big pop star at the time. And just by pushing and trying very hard to talk to people.
And I think, what's interesting for me there is, how you casually mentioned that they wanted you to do some Saturday shifts, because, again, there's a lesson there. A lot of people don't want to give up their weekends. They want to have a great career and they do really well, but they don't necessarily want to do the hours or do the weekends. But, you know, through you taking just those Saturday shifts, which probably was a pain, bearing in mind you love football and you love sport and everything, so you weren't able to do that, but you've taken up this opportunity, and that led you not only to cover some of these great stories, but it then led you on to the next thing.
Well, I think that's the key, is if you're passionate about something, it doesn't feel like hard work. You know, yes, you know, it was tough and there were long hours, but I was enjoying it. It's what I wanted to do. And I think if I was giving any advice to anybody looking for a job or looking for a career, I would say try and find the subject you're passionate about. And, the great thing about journalism is you can be passionate about journalism, or you can be passionate about sport, or you can be passionate about fashion, or you can be passionate about celebrity or business. You can write about all those subjects. So There are so many opportunities, and it's such fun, and you get to meet so many amazing people.
Well, this is therefore what led you through to PR. Before we touch on the detail of the PR, just tell us about the final positions that you had in the editor world.
I left the Ilford Recorder and went to the Sunday People. I got a staff job there, and then I became chief reporter and news editor there over 6-7 years. Again, breaking huge stories. I think I had the front page story 19 times in 1 year out of 52, even though there was 20 reporters. So lots of, good, fun stories to write. And then I became news editor of the Sunday Express, features editor of the News of the World, and then deputy editor of the News of the World, and finally editor of the News of the World.
And very interesting story about how you became deputy editor. That was 14 places you jumped, wasn't it?
Well, when I was on the Sunday People, members of the public would ring and the reporters were generally hired. And I used to think, well, who knows, they might have a great story. And I spoke to one particular guy and he told me he was a pen friend to two serial killers, and Myra Hindley and Ian Brady. And he used to write letters to them. They would write back and then he would sell the story of what they were up to the newspapers. And I became very friendly with this chap. He was about 70 years old. And then when Piers Morgan became editor of the News of the World, I was features editor number 15 on the paper, and he came into my office and he said, does this chap called Matt Oliver sell you stories? And I said, yeah, he does. He's my friend. And he said, well, he's my granddad. And I had no idea that Piers' grandfather was one of my contacts. And he said, look, anyone my grandfather trusts, I can trust. So I jumped 15 places to number 2 in the paper.
Wow.
And, we've been friends ever since.
That's fantastic. So you were editor there for 5 years, yeah, which was the longest ever run of an editor of that newspaper, the News of the World. And then you start to move more into the PR side. I know you went into Hello Magazine afterwards.
I did.
Tell us a bit about that, and then the
Hello
Magazine
was crazy because it was all about big celebrity interviews. So I did Pierce Brosnan's wedding, for instance, in Ireland, where we spent £1 million on the rights. So we had to not only write the story but protect the story from the rest of the press. We did Celine Dion in Florida. We did many huge features.
Because I think people, would look at your career and think, wow, you've reached the pinnacle of within this industry. And so sometimes people put it down to technical expertise, etc., which of course it is. But there's that extra thing. Some of these things are really basic that we are all capable of doing right now. One of the things you just mentioned is being nice to people and being genuine.
It's the oldest phrase in the book, being nice to people on the way up and they'll be nice to you when you're on your way down. And certainly that's happened with me, for instance, when I left newspapers and started a PR company. The people that I'd met during journalism all came, out of the woodwork and have become clients or friends or associates. And so you just build those relationships for long term. And I think, sometimes I'd hear journalists being rude to a member of the public on the phone. I think, why? What are you gaining from it? Maybe you don't want to take that call, but it doesn't take anything really to just be polite to people, and it does open doors.
It does. So getting on to PR, what is PR? Can you just give us a sort of a nice, simple definition of it?
Well, there's three words really. It's promote, educate and protect. So often we're promoting individuals or businesses, and so they can raise their profile and sell more widgets or more clothes or be better respected in the sporting world. Educate, often we're telling the public about things they don't know about. So it might be a new breakthrough technology, or it might be a new clothing range designed by Liam Gallagher, for instance, who is one of our clients. And protect. So we get a lot of situations where clients are being attacked in the media. It might be a football club, for instance, that's an obvious one, where the manager's getting a hard time or the club are getting a difficult time, particularly if they're not playing very well. Or it might be a business that have made a mistake. They've sort of maybe priced something wrong in a high profile store, or it might be an individual has done something wrong. We've had situations where frauds are being committed within companies, so the press get onto this and it can really damage a business. And our job is not to lie to the press, but to try and put the best possible face on the crisis. So in a fraud case, for instance, we might advise a company to sack the individual straight away, you know, be very open about it, explain that, you know, what happened, how the fraud has been detected, and what measures have been put in place to stop it happening again, to restore confidence in that business.
And you've got one of the larger PR companies in London. I know there are many of them, but I know you've got, you know, quite a lot of staff and clients. So tell us a little bit about your business in terms of the numbers of clients, et cetera, and the types of clients.
So we have 85 about 85 staff, 80 clients, and we have different divisions. So we have a sports division, a fashion division, a business division, and a new tech division, and then a group of a team that handles crisis management. And there's also a digital team that do everything from social media to building websites. So it's a real cross section.
And you take interns as well?
And we take interns. I mean, we've probably about a quarter of our staff have done internships, and we're very proper about it. We don't abuse people. We expect them to come in and do an internship for a month. And, you know, very often they've come in with no understanding of the business or even wishing to have a job. And at the end of the month, they want to work for us, and we've given them jobs. And a number of those people have climbed to very senior positions in the company as well. And it's interesting that PR attracts people who, like me, struggle with their exams to people from Oxford and Cambridge. And, you know, and I'm quite surprised when the Oxbridge people come in, because I think, well, they're going to want to do a really technical job, a highly paid banking job. But when they come into us, the variety of PR that it offers you, everything from, you know, meeting very well-known people to, you know, building businesses to, you know, getting to know some of the best known people in Britain, you know, from Paul McCartney to David Moyes to, you know, the variety is very attractive to them.
What's the sort of a typical, I know it's probably not typical, but what sort of things happen in a week in PR?
A typical day for me, for instance, I had breakfast this morning with the Times. We were talking about West Ham United Football Club with one of our clients and the issues around their stadium and, you know, the fact that the stadium is sold out, you know, for its second season, which many people predicted wouldn't happen. Then we have a group coming from Dubai who have a new technology that can spot sports injuries. Not only can it spot the injury, but it can predict how to stop that injury recurring again. We have Cliff Richard. We're doing selling his property in Portugal, helping promote that. Then we have a new business, which is a sort of mobile business where you can put your phone on the, when you pay a bill, you put your phone on the counter, by the pay machine, and it will send all the loyalty points onto your phone. So instead of having lots of cards, you have one phone with all your loyalties downloaded on it.
So it sounds like, that you say that you're spending lots of time not only sort of talking to the media outlets, but also the clients and understanding their different range of different products. And that's going to lead individuals in PR to a number to build expertise in a number of different industries. So in terms of stepping stones from working in PR to sort of, you know, other industries, I would imagine there's quite a lot of opportunity there.
There is a lot of opportunity. Because let's say you're a cyclist, for instance, and you want to be a racing cyclist and you don't make the grade. Well, you can work in PR and advise the British cycling team. We had a young lady who was very keen on football. She's now the head of comms for the ladies' England football team. We had somebody who wanted to go into banking. So he came and did financial PR with us and learnt about banking PR, is now working for a leading investment bank.
And then you can go in and be their in-house marketing.
In-house marketing. So you can stay in PR, or it opens doors into all sorts of ways. And of course, the other great thing is you're meeting a lot of very interesting people. You're meeting people at the top of their businesses
and building your network. What do you think are the main attributes of being successful? You've mentioned a couple of things such as, you know, the technical side that you can pick up from college, such as law and psychology, etc., so that you can understand sort of what makes a good story and not overstep the line and things like that. But there are other more sort
attributes.
Of personal attributes, aren't there? So what ones would you say
I think you've
got
to be
important?
Nosy for a start, because you've got to be interested in what makes businesses work or makes individuals work. You've got to be engaging. There's no point being shy. You know, you've got to be out there and be prepared to engage with people. And, you know, I find it very difficult sometimes. You know, you walk in the room with Sir Alex Ferguson sitting there and you're thinking, I've got to, you know, but if you're passionate about something, people take to you very quickly. So you've got to be engaging. I think you've got to want to get up in the morning, want to work. You know, it's hard work, but it's fun.
And I think, you know, you've got to be resourceful. You know, when you talked about being prepared to walk up and down a street and knock on doors or go to a village fete and ask lots of questions. So even if you do feel sort of shy, you know, you've got to push yourself to do that.
Resource was so important. David Moyes was having a terrible time at Manchester United when he was a manager there. And one of my staff said, he needs a PR. So I said, well, why don't you ring him? He said, well, why is he going to hire us? I said, ring him. He rang him and he hired us. You know, you've got to try. We've had, we represent three billionaires, three of the richest people in the UK. Each of them came to us via Google. They just searched us and found us. But then you've got to make that impression when you first take that call. And it's about being passionate and understanding what their issue is. And you can't always find a solution to the problem straight away. But it's being, once you're engaged, people will tell you everything. It's amazing what they will tell you.
Amazing. So Inner fantastic secrets. Opportunity for people that are inquisitive and just like finding out about others.
Exactly.
So I'm presuming that there are lots of people listening to this now where, you know, you really whetted their appetite and inspired them and they were interested in a career in this industry, in PR, or even in writing as well, working for national newspapers. So what would be your advice to them? What sort of steps should they take?
First, I would say start writing now because you can blog on your favourite subject. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't be afraid to steal with pride, I always say. So you can steal with pride and make sure you look at what other people are doing in their blogs and use them as examples to work from. Mm. Read everything in the media that you're interested in. So if you're looking at sport, read the sports pages. If you're interested in economics, get some economics magazines and read the financial pages so that when the opportunity comes, you're ready for it. You can really talk about the subject. Apply for internships. I mean, national newspapers now do graduate training schemes. They do internships. So apply to them directly. Local newspapers are still there, but they don't hire as many people as they used to. So many cases, people go directly to the top job now. I think you've got to start writing for those jobs. You know, I've hired so many people who've written to me cold. They show passion. They show an interest in a particular subject. They say, oh, you know, we understand you're representing Bicester Village, for instance, which we do. I'm interested in fashion. You know, what I spotted at Bicester Village was this. What I thought could be done better was that. Mm. And, you know,
and yet, you
give people a chance.
Phil, you know, you're at the very top of your game. You know, you've been editor of the News of the World, editor of Hello magazine. People may be thinking, well, I'm just a student, I'm only young, I've got no experience, I couldn't possibly write to him. And here you are saying, yes, they could.
You have to do it. And I think in the new technology age, it's so much easier to get people's addresses as well, you know, through LinkedIn. Sign into LinkedIn. I get students asking me to link up with them. I always accept them,
right?
Because I think, you know, why wouldn't I was there once. And I think people will listen to you. You know, Richard Branson, I know, has hired people who've sent him emails, you know, cold calling. People do. You've got to be prepared to be turned down.
But do lots of activity and keep going.
And if you've got a blog that's doing well and that's attracting attention, what better thing to have in your CV than say,
absolutely,
I'm already doing it.
There's
I'm
your portfolio well. Ready made.
Exactly.
Phil, you've got some amazing stories. I've been listening to some of them and unfortunately we haven't got time to include all of these. But if people want to find out more about you, more about your career or even contact you, where's the best place?
Yeah, drop me a line. It's phil@pha-media.com.
Phil, thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Great. Thank you.